Greetings and welcome to the Beacon broadcast from Beacon Baptist Church on Kirkpatrick Road in Burlington, North Carolina. The Beacon broadcast is supported in part by the gifts of faithful listeners. If you'd like to correspond with Pastor Barkman and the Beacon broadcast, or if you wish to support this radio ministry, write to the Beacon broadcast, Post Office Box 159, Alamance, North Carolina 27201. The Beacon Broadcast, Post Office Box 159, Alamance, North Carolina, 27201. Now with today's message from God's Word, here is Pastor Greg Barkman.
Amazing grace.
Well, we continue our study in Romans chapter 3. We have examined pretty carefully the fourth question raised an objection to the gospel and to the truth about God. And now we want to take a closer look at the answer to the question as supplied by the Apostle Paul. The question, you recall, in Romans 3:7 is, "For if the truth of God hath abounded through my lie unto his glory, why yet am I judged as a sinner?" If God is going to get glory even from my sin, then why is it fair to judge me, to punish me for my sin? And it's just basically an objection against the gospel and against the character of God. But here's the answer as given by Paul in verse 8. "And not rather, as we be slanderously reported, and as some affirm that we say, let us do evil, the good may come, whose damnation is just." Kind of a mouthful of an answer here, but let's take a look at it. Let's read it, first of all, in the New American Standard. "And why not say, as we are slanderously reported, and some affirm that we say, let us do evil, that good may come. Their condemnation is just." All right, here's the answer. In a sense, what Paul is saying is, a question like that really doesn't deserve an explanation. Some questions don't warrant an answer, or at least a very thorough one. Remember the book of Proverbs? Answer not a fool according to his folly. And that's really what Paul is saying when he says their condemnation is just. God is just to condemn those who reject his truth, who refuse his rule, who spurn his grace. People who raise questions like that, people who raise objections like that, deserve the condemnation of God, and your objection just simply proves God's righteousness in punishing you, whose condemnation is just. In other words, those who use the sovereignty of God or the grace of God as an excuse to sin deserve the condemnation which they will receive. Are you listening to me? Are you listening to me? I must say that again. Those who use the doctrine of the sovereignty of God, or those who use the teaching of salvation by grace alone, through faith alone, in Christ alone, as an excuse to sin, are slated for condemnation, and deservedly so. Now, you need to hear that, some of you, because no doubt I'm talking to some of you who claim to be Christians and claim to champion the truth of the sovereignty of God and the grace of God, salvation by grace, and you are using that as justification to live a life of sinful rebellion, living in violation of the righteous laws of God. You know you are violating them. You are unconcerned about violating them. You are justifying your violation on the basis that, number one, God is sovereign. So, if I do this, then God must want me to do it. He's sovereign. God could stop me if he wanted to. He doesn't stop me. Therefore, I'm not responsible for this. God is. And furthermore, because salvation is by grace, then I'm covered. I don't have to worry about answering for these sins. They're God's responsibility anyway, and I'm saved by grace, not by works, so I'm not concerned about my works. My works are bad. I admit that. They're abominable. But doesn't matter. No, it does matter. And those who talk this way are actually under a sentence of condemnation, and your condemnation is just, says Paul. It's like so many other things, not like so many misuses of the truth of God's word. You can take a measure of truth and then build upon it a logical position which is contrary to truth. And this is one of those areas. You can build a logic that says, because I'm saved by grace and not by works, therefore my works don't matter. Oh, I know that it's a matter of reward or loss of reward, but I'm not so concerned about that. The only thing I'm concerned about is heaven or hell. And since salvation is by grace alone, through faith alone, and Christ alone, and I've trusted Christ, then I don't have to worry about hell, and my works just don't matter. Wrong. They do. Now, you are right that justification is not a matter of works. Justification is by faith. But you are wrong when you say that your works don't matter, because what you have done is ignored the volume, the great volume of biblical teaching that tells us that there is a relationship between a justified sinner and a sanctified sinner. An irresistible, an unbreakable link between those two. There is no such thing as a sinner justified by grace who is not also sanctified by the indwelling Holy Spirit. If you are justified by grace, you have a regenerated soul. You have a new heart. You are a new creature. You have new desires. You possess the indwelling Holy Spirit. You have a desire to please God. You are producing good works. You are producing fruit. You are walking on the path of righteousness. You are persevering in holiness. You are doing all of these things as a result of the regenerating work of the Holy Spirit in your heart that has brought you to faith. And by faith you are justified forever before the judgment bar of God. But if there is no evidence of a changed heart, then you are mistaken to think that you are justified before the judgment bar of God. As the Reformers put it, and I have to keep coming back to this, salvation, or we could say justification, is by faith alone, but the faith that saves is never alone. And the very attitude that you display by saying, I don't have to worry about my works, I don't have to worry about my sins, I don't have to worry about my ungodly life. Of course I'm living an ungodly life, and I know that. I know that. But that's no concern to me, because I'm saved by grace. Whoopee! Whoopee! I'm saved by grace. I'm covered. Anybody who has an attitude like that has never been born again. It's as simple as that. Your condemnation is just. That's what Paul is saying here. For if the truth of God hath more abounded through my lie unto his glory, why yet am I also judged as a sinner, and not rather, as we be slanderously reported, and as some affirm that we say, let us do evil that good may come? I believe in the sovereignty of God. If God allows me to do evil, He has purposes in mind for that, which will redound to his glory. So, let her rip. In one way or another, I'm bringing glory to God. Here's the biblical answer to that attitude. Whose damnation is just? Your condemnation is just. God is just to condemn those who reject His truth, refuse His rule, and spurn His grace, which is exactly what you are doing, even though you are claiming the opposite, and even though you have apparently deceived yourself into thinking the opposite. But those who use the sovereignty of God as an excuse to sin are justly condemned by God. Those who use the grace of God as an excuse to sin are justly condemned by God. Those who falsely and deliberately misrepresent God's message of salvation by grace, or Paul's message of salvation by grace, are justly condemned by God. The Jews who take refuge in their presumed covenant relationship with God, ignoring God's righteous requirements, are justly condemned by God. Any way you look at it, you are slated for condemnation, and your condemnation is just. So you better get this right. You better get the right relationship between sin and grace. And there's two categories of errors in this realm. Number one, those who reject pure grace. They don't accept the doctrine that salvation is all of grace. Salvation is by grace alone, through faith alone, in Christ alone. Those who reject the doctrine of eternal security because they want to mix in works, and they just can't accept a gospel of pure grace. But the other category of error is those who use the doctrine of pure grace as a license to sin. And they are in error too, and they are just as slated for condemnation as those who are trying to be justified by some mixture of faith plus works, which is impossible. You can't be justified that way. If that's the way you're attempting to be justified, you are not justified. But if you are using the doctrine of justification by grace alone, through faith alone, in Christ alone, as a license to sin, you haven't been justified either. There are two mistakes here in doctrinal reasoning. Number one, to insist that human works contribute in some way to the securing of salvation, which is not true. It's contrary to the Word of God. Number two, to insist that faith in Christ produces no necessary righteousness of life. That's wrong too. It does. It does. Saving faith produces good works. It necessarily does. You say, that just doesn't seem right to me logically. How can both those things be true? They are. The Bible teaches them. And there are two warnings based upon this passage. Number one, beware of misrepresenting the doctrine of salvation by grace. Beware of misrepresenting the doctrine of eternal security. And number two, beware promoting a decisional style of evangelism, including the doctrine of eternal security, that encourages people to believe that they are saved without the attendant and necessary spiritual fruit. Now, dear friends, these are serious matters. And I really need to talk a little bit more about these two warnings, but my time is running out today, so I'll have to take it up tomorrow. But this is an important area, and that is a frequent theme on the Beacon broadcast because it is so vitally important. So come back tomorrow, and Lord willing, we'll take it up right at this point and then move on to the honor and glory of Jesus Christ. Until tomorrow at the same time, this is Greg Barkman, Bible teacher on the Beacon broadcast, Post Office Box 159, Alamance, North Carolina 27201, or you can email us at beacon@netpath.net. Good day. May God give you His eternal peace.